two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and DeGenevieve.
The president's move to wage war on social media platforms for what he calls censorship. It's got us talking more in depth about this question. Do you feel that these platforms like Facebook and Twitter should censor people more? Delete stuff from the sites that you're seeing that's just not true. Hogwash. Or do you feel like you don't want to be censored? 801-575-TALK is the number to call. I really want to talk with our listeners about this, Connor, because I think there's a lot of emotions bubbling up about this, especially in the pandemic.
And I think there's a lot of people who feel like wrong, false content is often black and white. I actually have gone through an exercise with our team going through social media censorship where an expert walked us through all these examples, and man, it's tough. So much of it is gray. How do you decide whether to delete something or fact check something when a lot of these decisions are actually very hard to make?
801-575-TALK. We're getting a number of texts, but truly, I got to hear our listeners' voices. I think the conversation is much... I don't know. I like it a lot better when I can actually talk back and forth with our listeners on the show. So 801-575-TALK. What side do you land on? Do you land on the side of there's not enough censorship? All your friends are allowed to post hogwash that is just a bunch of nothingness, especially about COVID-19. I don't know. They're just making it up and they're posting it. Or do you feel like, no. Let all decide what I want to see. I'll decide what I don't need Twitter to decide what I'm going to see. So here's my take. I've had a recent rash of really unsavory rhetoric showing up on my Facebook news feed, and I'm more of a Facebook user than a Twitter user. How about you, Connor?
I'm an equal opportunity social media addict.
How much time do you spend on it?
Oh, man, too much. I have that little weekly thing on my phone that says, you've used your phone this much this week, and it's depressing, so I won't share.
Here's my take. And in a moment, we're going to get to Dustin, who's waiting on the line right now from Camas to weigh in on this, one of our listeners. I initiated my own self-quarantine for my personal Facebook friend page because I was noticing less posts about family pets and family outings that looked really fun. And more of my friends masquerading as epidemiologists, as experts on COVID-19, and more link shares hating on Dr. Anthony Fauci. I mean, I was like, okay, I think the guy's just doing the best he can. We've never been through this before. I don't know, served under six presidents. We don't need to bash on people. And so I did my own quarantine, and guess what? I've loved it. I've loved it, Connor. Just stepping away for a few days from Facebook has brought joy to my life.
And that gets to kind of the free speech, free market, right? Let everyone decide what's best for them. You can unfriend people. You can social distance on social media and just, you know, put yourself in quarantine. I tend to welcome more debate, even from people who might be wrong, because I feel like that's an opportunity to engage them, maybe provide them correct information. But let's also be clear,
Connor,
that the government is not always right. They say, oh, you know, you can't get coronavirus from, or you can't get it from surfaces. And now they see,
I understand that, but you know as well as I do, when I post something that's corrected information to a friend's Facebook post, you know what I get? You're wrong. You're wrong. So they don't want to hear the truth. They just want to post whatever they want to post. So that's just the debate on social media to nowhere. It really is. And so I try to refrain from that. Let's bring on
and
Dustin.
Perhaps rightly so.
I know, right? Why lose friends over that? Dustin from Camas, what's your take on this? More censorship on social media or none at all?
Well, I think first off, the thing is no censorship. But I think what we also need to look at is maybe some of these companies, have the market monopolized as far as, the social media. Sure, I could set up my own website, start a social media forum, but these companies have so much money, and I don't know what the ownership structure is of, like, Twitter, for example, but, Facebook owns Instagram, and so they've really, I feel like, got that market monopolized, similar back when, I think it was Microsoft back in the day or somebody that they kind of went after for a monopoly on the market with that.
Dustin, Connor here. Let me ask you a quick question. Didn't MySpace once have a perceived monopoly?
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with MySpace, but
It's no space now, Dustin. Thanks so much for the call. That's a great point, Connor.
I think, right, because before Facebook and Twitter, there was MySpace. There was Friendster. Nothing prevents an upstart. If there is a broad concern about censorship, now is the perfect time for an innovative social media company to launch, develop, market, because if indeed that's what the market is concerned about right now, then, Facebook is either going to get its butt in gear and stop censoring to avoid that competitor, or the competitor is going to gain market share.
In light of President Trump getting ready to sign an executive order that basically allows more lawsuits to come Twitter's and Facebook's way, all because he's angry over what he calls censorship on Twitter when two of his tweets got flagged. We're continuing the conversation with John, one of our listeners here in Salt Lake City. Good morning, John. Are you there? We censored him. He's gone.
Maybe you should be sued. Just kidding.
We're trying to get another call on the line right now. Andrew Hull scrambling, our producer in the control room right now, to bring another caller on the line. Getting lots of calls on this. Sorry, John, that your call dropped. I'm always interested in hearing our listeners' takes on this. But for me, I think this issue has really bubbled up, Connor, with this pandemic. And the debate in my head is this. Do I reply to false information that my friends are posting? And I'll use Facebook. And I also use Twitter. I'll use Facebook, though, as an example, because I've tended to be on that more. No, I don't unfriend them. I don't unfriend them because I really don't want them to feel bad. But what I have done is taken a self-quarantine from Facebook, and it's made me feel a lot better. We've got Richie now on the line from Salt Lake City. How do you feel about censorship and social media? Do you think there should be more of it? Or none?
Well, I'm never a fan of censorship. The thing that I think is the bigger issue is that people need to be media literate. When you ask people where they get their news and they say Twitter, there are news agencies that are available on Twitter. But when we're looking at these different social media platforms as news sources or our friends, like you said, the part-time epidemiologists that we've all become, we need to teach ourselves to know, well, where is this coming from and why would they have a particular bias? Why would they be saying this way? It's a matter of literacy. It's not a matter of censorship for me.
Richie, a question for you. A lot of my friends, I'm channeling their thoughts here, as I can imagine what they would say. You talk about bias with these social media companies, but there have been allegations over the years and decades that media companies, news agencies themselves have biases, that we as individuals and reporters and others have biases. So is it fair to criticize the social media companies for bias and not the news agencies you seem to want to steer people towards?
Well, and that's the thing. I think that the critical eye and the critical ears that people need to develop is all parts, right? We need to recognize if Facebook, for example, would tend to lean liberal, we need to understand that. We need to know where they were coming from and why they would allow something that would be posted. We need to be literate in where these sources are coming from. It's not going to help, it just fuels the fire to censor and say, hey, you know what, these voices aren't going to be able to be heard on this network. It just deepens the conspiracy theories and increases people's thoughts that a voice isn't being heard. But if we're able to to find out, to recognize the source, to see where things are coming from and why people would share it that way, I think it goes a whole lot to the conversation.
Richie, thank you so much for calling in. Excellent, excellent takes on this issue. It's a really hot topic. And here's what I boiled it down to, Connor, in my own personal headspace. And that is, what is the value of that particular social media platform serving in my own life? And if I'm getting on the, my Facebook page and I'm feeling frustrated by people's posts, and if I post maybe a correction to something they said and they slap me back over a comment, or they private message me something that just isn't very thoughtful and actually quite hurtful, and I have to evaluate, what is the value of that to me? And if it's not bringing me joy, I'll just use that word, we commonly throw that out, but if it's not bringing me happiness, because I see your great posts of your family barbecue and the post of your new dog, and I'm seeing too many, you know, web links and story links and rhetoric that's just angry, well then, really, actually, it's not serving the value in my life that I need it to. And so I'm going to continue my self-quarantine for a while. Thanks for letting me have the last word on that, Connor. Connor Boyack, social distancing. He's our guest host today and for Dave Noriega, who's been on vacation. Straight ahead. Hey, this one was Connor's pitch. He wants to talk about price gouging. Straight ahead. We've got a senator, Utah State Senator, live on the line with us to tell us what he's going to do. And my question is, will this allow more of us to be price gouged? Can't wait for that conversation.
Dave and Dujanovic.
These are the guys you've made into a new daytime habit.
After Utah's morning news, come back at 9 for conversation with Dave and Dujanovic.
We're all part of KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion.